an abandoned hangar at the edge of town, the men of IMAO begin their secret meeting.
Okay, Frank, we're all here. What's this big new thing you wanted to show us?
Oh, just my new cruise missile with a nuclear warhead.
That's quite a phallic symbol, Frank.
Shut up, Kevin.
How did you get a nuclear missile, Frank?
Lawrence Simon helped me.
Okay, for the last time, there is no Israeli nuclear weapons program. Who am I kidding? I found some spare parts lying around.
So, it's a Jewish missile. Well, that explains why there's no heat shield on the nose cone.
I thought Sir said you couldn't have any weapons of mass destruction in the house, Frank.
Listen, space monkey. I'm all man and no woman is ever going to boss me around. Besides, she's busy getting her hair done.
Now that IMAO has a nuclear missile, what are we going to use it for?
I bet we can make a great bong out of it.
Our producer Scott told us to think out of the box on promoting the IMAO podcast. So I thought I'd hold the world hostage until everyone subscribes to it.
Can we get a tropical island with that?
But they'd have to clean it of monkeys first.
I don't know, guys. Threatening the world with nuclear destruction is wrong. With so much suffering and terrorism already wreaking havoc in the world, shouldn't we be working to help people instead of causing more trouble?
Space Monkey speaks with an honest and decent heart. We need to do something about that.
Whoever wants to be my thuggish enforcer, tie him to the missile.
Will do.
Come here, you... hey, stop struggling.
Whoa, is the end of Space Monkey.
I think you've got all the makings of a great supervillain, Frank.
You're right, Kevin. I mean, I'm a genius, I'm megalomaniacal, I never really like people.
You show signs of latent homosexuality.
Kevin, I thought I told you to shut up. Now, I need to record my demands to the world. Does someone have something to record with?
Hey, I've got a Furby.
Those creep me out. But okay, record. Hi, this is Threat to the World with your host, Frank J. You all have... When was Sarah getting home? You all have 20 minutes to subscribe to the IMAO Podcast at www.imaopodcast.com and give us a monkey-less tropical island, or I will nuke the moon! Okay, Lair. Send the Furby to the mainstream media and soon the world will bow to our demands.
These ropes are kind of chafing me, guys.
Shut up!
I-M-A-O.
Edgy, uncompromising comedy from imaopodcast.com with Frank J.
Ha, let's see how tough you are without your sword.
Sarah K.
Hello, men.
Harvey.
That's the sissiest looking grenade ever.
Space Monkey.
I just drank Carl Rove.
Right Wing Duck.
No more talkie talk.
Cadet Happy.
Frank would be tongue shining my black wingtips, that's for sure.
And Lawrence Simon.
Ready? Here we go.
The IMAO podcast theme music by Seattle-based artist Alaco. Alaco Music, www.aalacho.com.
Hi, this is Frank J, and I have a great idea for the next super weapon. What we need is a death ray. Just think about it. A ray that causes death. You just point it at people and they die. Yeah, sure, you know, a nuclear weapon might be more deadly in the end, but just think about having the threat of a death ray. With a nuclear weapon, you're all like,
well, we are going to retain first strike option against that belligerent nation.
But with a death ray, you're more like, if you do not bow to our demands, I will use my death ray. And we'll get a hot blonde chick to model it.
Hey, look at this death ray. It'll kill you.
This idea is just like so totally awesome. I don't even know why I'm just standing here talking about this. I'm gonna go lobby Congress right now. Later.
Welcome to Fun Facts About the 50 States. I'm your host, Harvey, and week by week, I'll be taking you on a tour around this great nation of ours, providing you with interesting yet completely useless and probably untrue information about each of the 50 states. This week, it's time to eat a peach in honor of Georgia. So, let's get started. Georgia became the fourth state on January 2nd, 1788, and its citizens commemorate this day each year by shooting British people with muskets. Contrary to popular myth, not everyone who lives in Georgia is a redneck. There's plenty of toothless, moonshine-swilling hillbillies, too. Coca-Cola was invented in Atlanta, Georgia in 1886. The original formula has changed since then, and the drink no longer contains actual cocaine or the blood of virgins. Georgia is a Cherokee Indian word meaning, are those rednecks or hillbillies? Despite the way natives pronounce the state's name, Georgia is not spelled with a W, unlike the word dog. Since it almost never snows in Georgia, children there spend winters having cotton ball fights. While having a cotton ball fight, it's considered cheating to stuff a peach pit in the cotton. In Georgia, everything is made out of cotton, except the peaches, which are made out of okra. The last time it snowed in Georgia, the confused natives thought it was ash from the Yankees burning Atlanta again. The state motto of Georgia is Wisdom, Justice, Moderation, which replaced the old motto of Whiskey, Hookers, NASCAR. In Georgia, every soft drink is referred to as Coke, except for Pepsi, which is referred to as Damn Yankee Poison. After Jimmy Carter left the presidency in 1981, he returned to his hometown of Plains, Georgia, and went on a bloody shooting rampage. Oh, wait, I meant to say worked for Habitat for Humanity. Must have been a typo. The only way to get to Florida from Georgia is by sea, since the Georgia-Florida border is guarded by landmines and alligators. The Georgia Music Hall of Fame in Macon, Georgia, celebrates the careers of all the talented musicians who were born in Georgia and is currently empty. They were going to put in a Ray Charles exhibit, but they figured there was no point since he wouldn't see it anyway.
I'll be back with more fun facts after this.
My super weapon. By Space Monkey. My super weapon totally rocks. Absolutely rocks. Actually, it is rocks. But really, really big rocks. These rocks will hit terrorists on the head when dropped on them, smashing them down right where they stand. Well, stood. I recognize we'll have to find some place situated high above where terrorists congregate or hang out to drop them from. So if you know any place like that, then let me know where they are and how you know. Plus, let me know if you've got a strong back. Hey, these are big rocks. See, watch. I can barely lift one over my head.
Like Khrushchev said, we will crush you. Except, I mean it literally. Ah!
Mommy.
Now, more fun facts about Georgia. St. Mary's, Georgia is the second oldest city in the U.S. and will soon be moving to Florida to retire. If it can make it past the landmines and alligators, that is. The state fish of Georgia is the largemouth bass, which shouldn't be confused with the much more common loudmouth drunk. Georgia was originally populated by settlers from England and drunk people from Alabama who couldn't find their way home. The governor's mansion in Georgia is the only quadruple-wide trailer in America. Some people are offended by the fact that three Confederate leaders are carved into the side of Georgia's Stone Mountain. Other people figure, it's okay since the back ends of the horses point north. Between 2001 and 2003, the state flag of Georgia was changed three times. The latest version consists of a white background with black lettering that says, "Your design here, $50. In Georgia, it's considered ungentlemanly to stare at a woman's breasts while talking to her, unless she's really hot. In the year 2227, Dr. Leonard McCoy will be born in Atlanta, Georgia, and will go on to become Chief Medical Officer of the USS Enterprise. If you already knew this, then you're a pathetic nerd who will never kiss a girl. The most common cause of death in Georgia is getting murdered in a fight over the proper way to pronounce the word pecan. Georgia is the state most likely to be invaded by Jane Fonda and have its peanut oil stolen to power her tour bus. The official state-prepared food of Georgia is grits, which consists of coarsely ground bits of corn and should not be confused with hog slop, which is made from coarsely ground bits of corn. Although Georgia is already America's number one grower of peanuts, farmers there are already working on developing a super peanut, which will be twice as large and shoot laser beams out of its eyes. They hope to use it to stop Jane Fonda. Well, that wraps up the Georgia edition of Fun Facts About the 50 States. Next week, we'll be slipping into a grass skirt for our trip to Hawaii. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to go murder somebody who said pecan.
So I'm checking my list of top secret IMAO assignments, and I read, "Hey, Lawrence, what sort of super weapon would you develop?" I wouldn't. I'm so sick of violence, all the killing and the bloodshed, all the death and the pain. That's it. Know what? I renounce all forms of violence. We should settle our differences through diplomacy and understanding and... Oh, come on, you believed it when that sheep f***er Yasser Arafat said it all those years. You're such a moron, Jimmy Carter. I hope you choke on that Nobel Prize and die. Wait. Semi-edible Nobel Prizes.
Hi, this is Frank J. with World of Knowledge. Today I have a very special guest. Many consider him to be the greatest samurai who ever lived. I present Miyamoto Musashi.
You said you would mention my book. That was deal for me to appear on Cast of Pod.
I was getting to that. Miyamoto Musashi is also author of the Book of Five Rings, which has been a bestseller now for 360 years. Now, I'd just like to say, Musashi, I think we both have a lot in common.
You're no samurai. Were you to even walk in my shadow, I would cut you down for the dishonor you would bring upon me.
Moving on. So, do you think your samurai wisdom still has use in this modern-day world?
People today are weak. Perhaps you cannot understand my knowledge. I ask you this question. You see ninja ahead of you on road. Do you speed up your car or slow it down?
I say speed it up and run him over.
Wrong! To change your speed in any way shows weakness to ninja. You'll continue in same course.
I'll meditate on that. Your book mentions spears, and of course the sword. But where would a nuclear weapon or some other weapon of mass destruction fit in your structure of the Five Rings? Would that go under the Book of Fire?
You're a fool who do not understand my book. Weapons of mass destruction would go under Book of Void. For in those weapons, you will only find the void.
Actually, I had trouble following that section. It just basically said, this is the Book of Void, and, you know, it didn't really elaborate much. Fact, it was kind of a jip. You know, I'd actually say the book was more of a 4.1 rings. Well, you know, perhaps I didn't understand it. You're gonna kill me now, aren't you?
Hey, but first, you plug book again.
Once again, we were talking with Miyamoto Musashi, author of the Book of Five Rings. And this is Frank J. And hopefully now, you're just a little bit smarter.
Die!
Welcome to She Blonded Me with Science, the segment where the beautiful and blonde IMAO blogger Sarah Kay answers complicated conundrums of science.
What is the difference between a nuclear bomb and an atomic bomb?
Well, first of all, they're both bombs.
No, sweetie, that's how they're the same. It's a difference, you know, how are they not alike?
Well, the atomic bomb uses atoms to blow stuff up, while the nuclear bomb uses nucleuses, which are much smaller. And if you use the inverse equation that blowing stuff up uses, then you get a much bigger explosion with the nucleuses, the nucleus bomb.
You mean nuclear bomb, sweetie.
No, I mean nuclear bomb. Nuclear bombs aren't effective at all. That's why they replaced them with the new and improved nuclear bombs. The E is essential in the blowing up of stuff. Haven't you ever studied physics?
Apparently not as much as you, sweetie.
Apparently.
If I, Right-Wing Duck, had the chance to develop the ultimate weapon, what would I design? Weapons are good. They kill bad people. But they also kill good people. And that's bad. My perfect weapon of mass destruction would kill only the evil people.
That's right, an evil bomb.
And I'm not talking about the latest Alec Baldwin flop. Let's assume that terrorists were smart enough to find a 25-mile gap in our Mexican-American border, and they were able to sneak across with the intent of hurting Americans. From a strictly not taking your job point of view. We drop a bomb. No more evil people. Wipe out all the terrorists. So you wipe out all the evil people and everybody's happy, right? Except for the ACLU, because I'm sure you probably violated one of their rights. But hey, it's an evil bomb. The ACLU probably wouldn't be around. Patent pending. I thought of it first. Go make your own evil bomb.
Hi there, I'm your friend, Lawrence Simon, and it's time for another crappy bedtime story. This week, we're going to enjoy The Grasshopper and the Ant. Ready? Here we go. Once upon a time, there was a grasshopper who loved to dance and leap and play in a wide, sunny grass field all day. On the other hand, his neighbor, an ant, spent all day storing up food and supplies in his anthill.
"If you don't plan for winter, you'll be left with nothing and you'll starve," said the ant to the grasshopper.
"What fun is planning?" said the grasshopper. "You'll never enjoy the beautiful sun, fool. Everything is great right now and it will never change."
Well, neither the grasshopper nor the ant ever heard of a faraway place called Pakistan, where their national hero, Dr. A.Q. Khan, sold nuclear technology to the, North Koreans, the Egyptians, the Saudi Arabians, the Syrians, pretty much every dictator with dinars burning a hole in his pocket. So, by the time the leaves started to turn brown and fall, that's about when the nuclear missiles from rogue states started to fall, too.
"This is obviously the fault of those evil Zionists," yelled the grasshopper, as he and the entire sunny field were incinerated.
What about the ant?
Well, what about the ant? I'll tell you what happened to the ant. He's dead, too. We're all dead. Dead, I tell you.
The end. This has been a crappy bedtime story from your friend, Lawrence Simon.
Now go to bed!
Hi, I'm Sarah Kay, and I have the greatest idea ever for a new weapon. It's a super huge bullet-like thing, but I mean super huge. But it looks like a bullet, and it explodes like a bullet, but it has twice the killing power.
Sweetie, are you talking about a missile?
Stop making stuff up! This is a bona fide invention! Anyway, the only problem I foresee with my invention, the Giganto Bullet, is that I'll need to invent a big enough gun to shoot it out of. We'll call that a Mil-Spec 1912, one of those Springfield losers. And it'll be a .46 caliber, to keep with the theme.
Never mind.
Now the 1912 will have to be super light. We'll make it out of aluminum so it's not too heavy. And I'll be the best at shooting that one, just like all the other guns. So what do you think?
I think you're in the next Thomas Edison.
Take that back! I'm not the next Thomas Edison! I'm the next Condoleezza Rice! Thomas Edison. He wasn't even a girl.
Reviews are slick with Sarah Kay. A fairly lame flick is the topic today. Cheerio! This is Simon Wishesher filling in for Sarah Kay. I'm a little tipsy, so, you know, be patient.
Get away from my mic!
I was just keeping it warm for you, darling.
Get away now, you stupid limey!
Fine, I'm on my way out.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kay, and reviews are fun, especially when I get to eviscerate a stupid movie.
And stupid movie actor, thy name be Keanu Reeves.
And Constantine is among the worst of the dumb Keanu Reeves movies.
Harsh.
First of all, the premise is stupid. It's all about demon possession. As if.
Actually, I'd like to disagree on that point. We use lots of research with books.
Don't make me punch you!
I know kung fu.
And I know guns. Get out!
Heinous.
Oh, all these limeys and Keanu Reeves. I don't have time to tell you how bad this movie was. It would take a lot of time.
You'd have to continue it like 50 words a second without stopping.
I thought I told you to leave! In the movie, the character Constantine takes a journey into hell, which is exactly what you do if you sit through this movie. But hey, if you like to see cross-dressing angels and people's faces melting off, you'll definitely want to rent this one. And that's all I've got.
I don't really hate limeys, just bad imitations of them. Cheerio!
Cheerio!
Hello and welcome to Ask Ducky, the part of the show where you could ask me, Brightwing Duck, anything you want to know. Our first question comes from Farmhunk. He says, Ducky, do you think that Al-Qaeda already has nukes hidden in the United States? Could that explain why the men digging in my backyard look Middle Eastern? Well, Farmhunk, if you're living in California, more than likely those men aren't Middle Eastern. They're probably Mexican. There's a difference. $6 an hour, but a difference nonetheless. Remember, if they encourage you to learn Spanish, they're probably Mexican. If they encourage you to kill your Jewish neighbor, then you might have a problem. Our next question comes from FM Ragtops. It asks, Ducky, Iraq had 1.8 tons of partially enriched uranium, a stockpile of RDX commonly used in nuclear weapons, and a nuclear physicist that stated he was told by Saddam to keep the nuclear weapons program ready to go at a moment's notice. Why do we still hear the tired old, there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq line? Partially enriched uranium, stockpile of RDX, scientists, you know what liberals call that? Circumstantial evidence. But don't worry, what do you care what they say? They still can't win elections. Look, if we had found the weapons 2 days after landing, liberals would have been screaming, oh, you planted it. And I'm sure there are people out there who say, hey, you probably found it, but you just hid it so that you could stay in Iraq even longer for the oil. Remember, they still can't win elections. Our last question comes from John. If a weapon of mass destruction blew up in Anwar, the Alaskan National Wildlife Reserve, would the liberals let us drill there? John, of course not. Think about it. The whole place would be radioactive. Radioactive plants, bugs, and slugs. In other words, they'd be protected species. Well, that wraps up Ask Ducky. Do you have a question you're itching to ask me? Go ahead and drop me an email at askducky@imaopodcast.com. Ask Ducky, D-U-C-K-Y, at imaopodcast.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you.
As they wait for the world to yield to their demands that every human being subscribe to their podcast or Frank J. will nuke the moon, the IMAO bloggers taunt Space Monkey, whom they tied to the nuclear missile because he was being rational.
Rational's got nothing to do with it. Your undoing has been your constant mooching, Space Monkey.
Well, I'll give him points for paying us back yesterday, Ducky. By the way, Monkey, how did you get the money you owed us?
Well, Harvey, I sold my blood.
Well, you won't be needing any of that anymore, right, Lair?
Yeah, you're expendable. Expendable! Get it? I guess that's the kind of wordplay joke that works better on a blog and not a podcast, huh?
It's my legal opinion we launched this nuclear missile while ridiculing Monkey.
But we haven't heard if the world has subscribed to the IMEO podcast yet.
So?
Kevin?
Frank J. and the men of IMAO watch on the rocket cam as Space Monkey remembers there is evil inside him after all.
There is evil inside me after all.
It's sort of a reverse redemption moment. Space Monkey then yeehaws and straddles the missile just like Slim Pickens in Doctor Strangelove.
Look, he's yeehawing and straddling the missile just like Slim Pickens did in Doctor Strangelove.
You watch Doctor Strangelove, Ducky? That means you're gay.
No, Kevin. It means that Space Monkey's turned evil. Yay! I think.
Almost makes you regret killing him, doesn't it?
No.
Suddenly, the missile guidance system malfunctioned.
The missile guidance system malfunctioned. The readout says it's going to hit the far side of the moon instead of the near side.
Not as visible, but at least it'll still be nuked.
Doc, why do you keep repeating everything the announcer says?
I don't know.
Hey, Space Monkey sees the problem. I think he's going to fix it.
No, don't fix my nuclear missile. He fixed my toaster one time. Now I put in bread and dough comes out. He breaks things worse.
Space Monkey breaks it worse.
Oh, sh**. The destination readout just changed from far side of the moon to return to Lair.
Wait. Lair as in cave or as in a guy named Lawrence whose nickname is Lair?
Huh? Me?
Not knowing for sure. They send Lair out for bagels, just in case.
Okay, be right back, guys.
Take your time.
Like I'm supposed to know where a bagel shop is going to be open this late. Why not just ask Ducky to go looking for a tamale stand?
The situation looks grim, but at the last minute, the missile turns and lands just like it launched. Space Monkey foils their evil plan. Accidentally.
Space Monkey foiled our... Nah, I'm not doing it again.
Hey, guys.
Did you see that? I tried to fix it, but...
Shut up!
Frank, can't we just refuel the nuclear missile and try it again?
No, Harvey. When Space Monkey fixes something, it stays broke.
Hi, y'all.
Oh, it's Sarah. Nobody say anything about me trying to nuke the moon.
I thought you said Sarah wasn't the boss of you, Frank.
Harvey! Rope! Monkey! Now!
Dang it, Monkey! Come with me!
Frank, why are Harvey, Kevin, and Ducky tying up Space Monkey and running out the back door?
Oh, they're gonna look for Lair.
Oh, they should have talked to me first. I ran into Lair on his way to get bagels. Well, sweetie, I'm back from the hair salon. Do you have something to say to me about my hair?
It looks fine, little honey bunny boogie snuggums.
Fine? It's not fine! It's full! It's shiny. Just like my pots and pans.
Of course it is, dear.
Better. Let's watch the news.
WMSM News received a surprise today. A one-of-a-kind evil overlord, Furby, was delivered to our offices. Isn't he cute? Just listen to him.
And give us a monkeyless tropical island, or I will nuke the moon.
We sold it on eBay just now for $1 million.
Sweetie, why does the voice on that Furby sound like you?
And now our top story. The ghost of Slim Pickens was seen in the sky today, making all who saw it want to outlaw podcasting, whatever that is.
And why does the ghost of Slim Pickens sound exactly like Space Monkey?
It's, not what you think.
Did you threaten to destroy the Earth with a nuclear missile unless people subscribe to your stupid IMAO podcast and strap Space Monkey to it when he tried to talk reason? Again?
Destroy the Earth? No, I honestly did not. Not exactly.
Good. I'm gonna nuke us some popcorn.
And that concludes podcast number 10. Go out and have an explosive day. And remember,
buy my book, pet. Stupid, run it.
And finally tonight on the news, a new WMSM poll shows the majority of the world's citizens refused IMAO's demands because most weren't sure what a podcast is and find XML confusing.
Then you shall meet nuclear doom. Sweetie, hey, give that back.
No toys during dinner, Frank.
But I need that remote for my evil plan.
No evil plans during dinner either. I'm going to put this up on the refrigerator so you can't get to it. I can't reach the top of the refrigerator. Here, you put it up there for me.
Yes, dear.